I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you haven't been in a car accident, consider yourself lucky or overdue. The car insurance industry estimates you'll file a claim for a collision once every 17.9 years. So if you get a license at age 16, the odds are quite good that you'll experience some kind of crash by the time you're 34. Over the course of a typical long driving lifetime, you should have a total of 3 or 4 accidents. Chances are these crashes won't be deadly, but sadly, there are nearly 1.3 million each year which are deadly, causing on average 3,000 deaths a day, with a further 20 to 50 million people that are left seriously injured or even disabled. It's a frightening set of statistics, but one car company committed to changing that is Volvo. In 5 years' time, Volvo have made a pledge that no one will be seriously injured or killed in one of their cars. How exactly do they intend to achieve this? I flew out to Sweden to find out.
I'm Lotta Jacobsen. I'm a technical specialist at the Volvo Car Safety Centre in Gothenburg. Well, we have a very strong ambition that nobody should be killed or injured in a new Volvo car by 2020, and that's really the lead star of all our work.
Is that just malfunctions, or are you talking about human error here as well?
Yes, of course. I mean, whoever is responsible from the perspective of the one being injured, it doesn't really matter.
In particular, Volvo are looking at one of the more serious types of injuries, paralysis or damage to the spinal cord. Why? Aside from the sometimes debilitating nature of an injury like this, the fact is we haven't seen a reduction of them. The number of the most serious injuries have been halved, but spinal injuries have remained stubbornly constant.
Yeah, I'm Ulf Bjørnstig, and I'm a professor of surgery at the University Hospital in Umeå, Sweden. Yeah, the problem with that injury is that you can fracture a vertebra, and in the worst case, the fragments will go into the spinal cord. And
so potential paralysis then we're talking about.
That's the problem with spinal cord injuries. So in the worst case, you will be paralyzed.
How often do you see this type of injury in the emergency room?
That's difficult to say. It depends on the traffic and so on. But every emergency doctor have seen this type of injuries because at least in Sweden, it's not uncommon to leave the road and bump into the ditch, and then you have a risk for these injuries in about 20% of the cases.
So 20%, that seems like quite a large number. What sort of things can you do as a surgeon?
This type of injuries often give you pain, maybe for the rest of the life. In the worst case, you will have an injury to the spinal cord and will have a paralysis. And in that case, a doctor can't do so much.
These types of injuries are frequently caused by an impact to the bottom of the car. That sounds like you'd need to do something pretty drastic. But actually, it's pretty common. Driving off the road and into a ditch or over a traffic bollard, say. So how can we better protect our spines? Well, Volvo's answer was to crash a brand new car into a ditch and to see what happened.
Full scan test, countdown is following. 10, 5, 10 completed.
What we've just seen now is a real live crash. I've watched a car fire out of a tunnel, down a ditch, over the ditch, fly about 5 metres into the air and into an embankment. It's a brand new car. Why are we doing this? It seems like a bit of a waste of a lovely car.
We have to test the car. We have to damage some cars for the case of safety.
And what sort of injuries are quite common in this type of crash?
This specific crash we reconstructed today, it is actually reconstructed.
Lotta Jacobsen again.
It is actually reconstructing crashes where we see injuries to the spine. And these injuries occur when there is a vertical force, a force coming up through the buttock from the seat. And especially if the occupant is forward bended or leaning in some direction, the tolerances of the spine is less and the injuries can occur.
And in this car, you've got a family of three dummies. I assume you go away and analyse these and see whether their spines are intact. Looking at them, though, they don't look too damaged.
No, well, they are probably a bit, not shocked, but at least there have been some moving around and maybe some bruises. But my guess, not looking at the data yet, is, but based on my experience, they're likely to be well protected and no major injuries, because simply we can see now after the test that they've been in a good position, upright position, and we know that the seats have helped to lower loads of the spine. And it's important to be tight to the back of the seat, because the arms are flinging, the head, you can reduce the movements of the head and the arms as well just by tightening up the occupant.
What is it about the seat and the seatbelt that maintains or keeps this position that protects your spine?
We have a seatbelt retentioner. It's an electrical retractor that is reversible. It tightens up, and that tightens up already and keeps him or her in position.
What happens is this. You're driving. Do-do-do-do-do-do. And then you've swerved to miss a moose. Just as this happens, the car detects you're off the road and you're in trouble. And within an instant, the seatbelt physically pulls you into your seat. I actually tried one of these out.
Okay, I will count down from three, two, one.
Oh, it is quite tight.
Yeah, it is. It keeps you for about 10 seconds.
Yeah. It's like a big hug.
Yeah.
Most seatbelts activate when they feel a sudden pull. You know, that annoying tug you feel when you're trying to put your seatbelt on too quickly. But by the time the seatbelt activates, you're already leaning forward, spine bent. And when your spine isn't straight, it's much more vulnerable to injury. These seatbelts hug you into the seat and thus force your back to be in a straight and upright position. But how does your seatbelt know when and where to work?
Simply, we have sensors reading the motions of the car, and by knowing what type of motions is typical for run-off road situations, we tell the sensors to trigger based on those motions.
So it's a bit like an algorithm. There's at a certain point, this type of movement means activate.
Yeah, we kind of learn the sensors to read that. So an algorithm tells us that this is a run-off road, potential run-off road situation. This is just somebody steering, tough steering manoeuvres.
It's not only the seatbelt that are inching Volvo closer to their 2020 goal. No, autonomous driving systems, or systems that kick in without us even realising, are also a vital part of that. The place where they test these systems are quite strange. Think of a Hollywood movie set, empty, derelict towns, traffic-free highways and country lanes void of tractors. Their truly bizarre and AstroZero test centre was no different.
Jonas Vepsalainen, working as a safety specialist at Volvo Car Corporation.
We're standing in one of the weirdest places I have ever been. I feel like I'm on a film set. It's essentially a load of boards with posters on depicting what I believe you said is Harlem Square.
Yes.
What is this strange place?
This is the city test facility. And what we have here is the possibility to reconstruct any scenario to test, for example, to train our systems for our next generation of safety systems. So here, for us, what you see as a strange place and city is endless possibilities.
And it's not just cities you've got here. You've got highways, motorways, high-speed areas, rural areas. What sort of systems are you testing here?
Well, a lot of the systems that we're testing here is our radars and camera, and improving functionality or developing new functions for forthcoming systems. For example, more training of our collision warning with autobrake. The next generation we're looking into is to detect, for example, larger wild animals. And here, of course, the moose or the elk is a huge challenge in Sweden. We have about 42,000 wild animal accidents, and 6,000 to 7,000 of those in Sweden are with a moose or an elk.
So does that mean you're literally checking out a moose in front of a car as it drives along and see how it reacts?
Indeed so. We also actually have been visiting another animal park here just to train the camera to analyze the moving patterns of real animals.
Imagine a moose runs out onto the road. You're hurtling at high speed and your reaction times are never going to be fast enough to stop. Except the radar and cameras built into your car detected the moose before you did. Even though your foot is still on the accelerator, the car has already applied the brakes for you. It brakes, you miss the moose. Or at least that's what all the testing has shown so far. I was keen to give it a test of my own, though.
Great. Oh, lots of leg room.
What that? My name is Henrik Pietersen, and I'm a test engineer at Astas Aero Proving Ground.
And how far can we expect before the brakes will engage? How close will we get to the vehicle?
We will get quite close.
Are you going to make me scream? I'm ready whenever you are.
Yeah, Henrik här, då kör jag. All right, here we go. We are driving up to this car and now we'll see.
As predicted, yes. a slightly bigger jolt on the old seatbelt, but nothing too uncomfortable.
No, it's quite soft brake.
Yeah, we're not as close as I thought we would be getting. I thought we'd be might even just be gently bumping into the other car, but we're not. We're still a fair half a meter away.
Yes, then in this speed, the system works very well, so we will not get an impact at all.
Ultimately, braking systems like these will lead to a completely driverless car. But for now, Lotter and colleagues are concentrating on the immediate future to achieve their 2020 goal.
We are hopeful. Of course, we cannot do this by ourselves. We need also the road authorities and others to develop the infrastructure. So by working together, we will definitely reach this. This is my firm belief. And everybody absolutely needs to wear the seatbelt as well. Otherwise, it's difficult to protect them.